It's the Dillcast, episode 586, Oonga Boonga.
And this week, guys, we talk a little bit of Hellblade 2, Elden Ring, and some Monster Hunter franchise. Stay tuned.
Two big hammers.
Ah. No fizz.
Yeah.
It's the Tiltcast.
It is. And I died.
The M-rated show. I am Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm Pissy.
I'm Rusty.
And with the three of us, you'll get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games, some news. It is 92 degrees on June 16th. It feels like it is 98 outside. It is 2:07 p.m. on a Sunday.
It's 65 degrees and rainy in the Northlands.
Yeah, it is definitely not rainy here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's rainy.
Me and Jason both have our pools finally set up.
Yep.
And I just got back from camp.
It's... Yeah, I got my pool set up to basically have one evening where I got in it to just relax. Every other evening this week, I've been, like, cleaning it or making some modification to it.
Well, you know.
I just get in it to clean it.
Oh, I get in to clean, except for vacuuming. That works better when I'm not in it. If there's no one in the pool, there's nobody there to disturb the dirt and leaves and other shit on the bottom of the pool.
No, I let the robot do that.
So much better.
Yeah, you got to get a robot.
Yeah, I don't have robot money.
It was $100. It was not expensive. It is not the best robot.
It looks like a Roomba.
Mine looks exactly like a Roomba.
Really?
Yeah.
The vacuum I got that attaches directly to my pump cost me $30. So,
I mean, it's not bad. I need to get me a...
One thing I have discovered, though, is that this newer pool, for whatever reason, like the bottom and the sides are... At the bottom of the sides, it's a little bit more rounded out than my older liner pools were. Like, those seem to more so stand straight up when filled. So I've got to get like a rounded brush so I could kind of brush the sides off before vacuuming.
But I made a mistake. I had not ran the backwash of my sand filter long enough, and so I shot sand all over the bottom of my pool. And my pool robot will not pick up most of it. So I need to get in there with my shitty vacuum or get a vacuum to get it all out or say, fuck it, I'm not doing a lot this summer anyway.
The shitty vacuum's would be good enough to like pick the sand up and throw it out. The only thing is you need like instead of that bag, because that bag's not going to catch a lot of that sand.
Nope.
If you go Lowe's, you can get what's basically like a waste hose basically built out of like heavy trash bag plastic.
Yeah. Right?
So you can put that on there and like put a rubber band really tight around it or something. And then just get rid of your that little net that's on it, and you can just, since that one connects to your hose, because I know which shitty little vacuum you've got, you can just use your hose water to just push all the sand out through that waste hose and be done with it, and you should have very minimal water loss.
Yeah, let me give it a shot. But anywho. Yeah, we've been,
anyway.
Been.
That's pool talk with the nerds.
Yeah, been doing that. It is Father's Day, so hopefully kids are doing things for you. You're going camping all next week or something like that, because
yeah,
you like the great outdoors.
Monday night, come back Thursday evening.
You know, with Game Pass, you can use the feature to stream to your phone.
Yes.
I plan to.
And you can connect a Xbox controller via Bluetooth to your phone as well.
I plan to.
That's the way. That is the way.
This is the way. We can't use that, can we?
My Switch out there, so I can always, like, hook the Switch dock up to the camper TV and just sit there and play Tactics Ogre while the kids are outside.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
And to pick a good game.
Yeah, you got to pick something
that's going to last you for a while.
That and something that you can pause frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's important when you're in a situation like that.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking Tactics Ogre would be kind of perfect.
You can literally just can set
that down.
Set it down in between turns and just let it idle. That game basically just reacts to everything that you do.
Yep.
That's good. You've been back on Game Pass recently. What have you been doing with it?
Well, I installed Hellblade 2.
Yeah, you should actually.
And I spent all of 15 minutes with it before the family interrupted me. And
are you running it on?
Basically been shit.
You running it at 1080p? You've got the 3080, right?
Yeah, I've got the 3080, but my computer monitor is just 1080p. I don't have an expensive fancy monitor like you boys.
I just have a TV.
I've probably got the fanciest setup here.
I've got a fancy TV, but yeah.
I could hook it up to my TV in my bedroom. The only problem is where I have my computer. I have to run a long enough HDMI cable that I basically lose 4K or 1440 anyway. Like, it ends up just up-resing it because, you know, signal degradation. So, you know, I might as well just play it on my 1080p monitor. My 1080p monitor's got really great colors to it. It's like one of Samsung the year before their OLED panels came out.
You basically should be able to play everything at maximum settings at 1080p for sure.
I can.
Yeah, and 1080p gaming is not bad.
Except for, like I found out with Hellblade, I kind of have to, drop some of the textures a little bit because my at 1080p it pushes so many frames that my 9900K F can't keep up with it.
That means that mine's gonna have problems.
So you have CPU bottlenecking?
Yeah, CPU bottleneck. Yeah. Because
how old's that chip?
So
it's a ninth gen, but it's, I mean, we're up to, you know,
12?
15.
Oh, 15. I've been doing the budget build with AMD.
And, you know, as far as Intel goes anyway, they didn't release a resizable bar in the chipset until 10th gen. And yeah, a lot of these CPUs, the Ryzen 5000 and 6000 series, the 10 series for Intel and up, they use resizable bar to optimize texture processing and output from the GPU.
Have you looked at just doing a minor overclock with it? Do you have what kind of CPU cooler do you have on there?
My 8-core 9900KF comes turboed out of the box. It runs 4.7 to 5 gigahertz all the time.
Yeah, there's really not a
there's not really much of an overclock that I could do to it.
You're limited by having eight cores.
I could try undervolting it, but I mean, the main thing is I've got 8 cores, 16 threads, which
is still not bad.
It's still not bad. I could go get a like a 13 or a 14 700 or go Ryzen 6 or Ryzen 7. I mean 6000 or 7000 series is what I mean. And just because of the resizable bar and some of the newer clock timings, it would be less of a bottleneck.
Yeah.
That basically all these 4K textures, the DLSS, the ray tracing, all of that ends up adding up, and the without resizable bar reprioritizing the frame and texture monitoring from the GPU, it just creates a bottleneck.
You might actually be
at lower resolution. So Rusty, you might actually be fine if you're running it at 1440
Is it running at like 144 FPS or something crazy like that?
Yes.
No.
Because it could be doing that, and that's why you're getting an actual GPU bottleneck. Just like frame limit it to like 100 FPS or something, you'd be fine.
I do have it frame locked to 120, and it still does it.
Weird. Yeah, I can't. My refresh rate on my, so I have an LG OLED, and it basically it locks in at 119 hertz, right? So the refresh rate's 119 FPS. So I don't know what it's like higher than that, and I don't ever put it higher than that, and it G-syncs, so I just let it stay at that, and I guess probably that's why I don't ever run into that kind of stuff, because it doesn't run it higher than that.
My monitor goes up to 165 hertz. Yeah, so
I wouldn't.
It will display whatever frames you can shove to it.
Yeah, I wasn't sold on G-Sync until Rusty started talking about it, and I was like, I have to have a TV with G-Sync. And now that I have a TV with G-Sync, like I can't imagine a world without G-Sync, because you don't notice it when the frames drop. It just keeps going beautifully.
Yep. It does a really good job of filling it in. There's a couple things that I've noticed. Like, I don't notice it while I'm gaming as much, but I can definitely notice it in benchmarking. So, you know, for instance, I was comparing my benchmarks for the upcoming Final Fantasy expansion, because they do they put out a benchmarking tool before every expansion. Well,
it doesn't run at 500 FPS?
Anyway. Huh?
It doesn't run at like 500 FPS?
Well, no. I mean, that game, you know, while MMOs get the meme for having, you know, being able to run on a potato, it's actually, they've done, they're doing a graphics update. So it's going to look a little bit better. But it also adds additional options so that you can kind of turn things up for, for higher end machines and make it look really good. So I basically had everything set to, you know, to its maximum, you know, cause right. You know, I got a 390 in my machine. It's, you know, it's enough. And I was getting like 15K, like is the score. And I said, well, that's good. It says very high. And I'm like, all right, that's, you know, I would say that would be respectable. I didn't see very many frame drops or anything like that while I was doing the benchmarking. And then I went on Reddit, because you go on Reddit to kind of compare. And people were posting with 3090 and newer processors, you know, scores in the, you know, like the 30K range. And I'm like,
but what does that get you?
Well,
that gets, you know, that gets you overhead, basically. You know, in those, you know, in those situations, you can have even more shit going on your screen, which basically, you know, MMOs are basically like flash bang boom. You got fucking like, you know, spell effects going everywhere, right? You can have even more of that shit going on, and it's not going to slow, you know, slow shit down. I'm not worried about that because I turn all the fucking spell effects off. I want the background to look pretty, but I want to see my spells, but I don't want to see everybody else's. So it's like, get rid of all the fucking clutter, right? So I could care less. What I was curious about was why my number was so low compared to somebody else. And then you realize, you know, their processor was a more recent processor, like a 14th gen processor. And they're using DDR5 RAM and things of that nature. And it starts to add up. It's like it can call memory faster. It can actually load shit into memory faster. They probably were running off of a PCIe fucking, you know, a fourth gen fucking M.2 drive. So it was pulling data faster. And the way that the, you know, the Intel efficiency cores and everything work in the newer processors, you know, can load shit up before it's needed so that it's ready and available. So the just the changes in the architecture is just the way that, you know, is increasing it by maybe, you know, well, it was saying it was doubling what I was getting. So, yeah. I think that the 9900K it's a solid processor, but I think it's actually like getting to a point where, you know, it's time to start looking at a newer processor, newer everything there. So I have a plan this year to build yet another machine. Not saying that this one's bad by any means. Like, I'm getting fucking 150 frames per second, you know, can play Final Fantasy without any fucking problems. I haven't run into any issues really, you know, playing, you know, relatively new games on it, but I always kind of overbuild when I build. Jason definitely knows this. I overbuild. Then I'm good for like fucking 4 years or 5 years or something like that until I build again. And I tend to just kind of go all out, because I like the idea of, you know, having overhead on my games, and not having to worry about shit. But B, I'm also kind of playing with the new tech, right? Like, I'm looking at what this processor does for me, what this RAM will do for me, what, you know, if there's anything that I can do to push the machine. And I think games, including like Senua's Sacrifice 2, are built to push that shit. I mean, that game looks beautiful and you can turn it to fucking like, you know, basically real life almost, you know?
I guess I'm still good.
So yeah, while you're still good, I would like to actually, you know, I'd like to get, you know, I'm waiting for everything. I'm waiting for this build for the new GPUs to come out this year. I know it's probably going to be just a repeat of the 3090 where I'm fucking like, you know, trying to buy that shit before the scalpers do. That's my goal, is I want to get a new video card, new processor, new RAM, everything. Just build it from the ground up. And my buddy Cam needs a PC because, you know, I just tested his network card. His network card's download speed's fine, but his upload speed is like 2.4 megabytes.
Jesus.
So something's wrong with his network card. I tested it with a USB network card in it, and the USB network card actually works.
90% of his build's like over 10 years old, isn't it?
It's way old. Yeah. I mean, we had to update his video card. We got him the 2080 that came out of Jason's machine, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so we got him the 2080 out of Jason's machine, and we put that in there, and that was a big fucking upgrade because he was running something I don't know what the fuck it was, straight from Dell. it was not enough for what he was trying to do with it. He still appreciates the fuck out of that. And that 2080 will still get, put to good use because his machine will probably end up getting repaired and put to, input in his mom's office. So she'll have a decent, decent graphics card to do whatever the hell she wants to do up there. But he's going to get my old machine. So he can, have something within reason. If anything, I could drop a new new processor and motherboard in this, and that would be a relatively inexpensive upgrade. Like maybe, I would say like $400-$500 maybe.
I started saying 12. You could just drop a Z690 or B790 board in there that's DDR4 and just get like a 12700K, and that would be a huge upgrade.
Yeah. See, so, and that would be, probably $400 maybe, all told, and still be able to use everything, perfectly fine. So yeah, it would be relatively easy to upgrade, this machine. But that's the thing. I mean, if you're looking for incremental upgrades, you don't have to spend like I do. you could do just the processor and motherboard, use your current RAM, video card, whatever, and do it that way. He unfortunately needs to have a whole new fucking machine because it's just trash.
Yeah, I looked at that recently. I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring, among other things, and every now and then I get this weird thing where it like slows way down and then speeds way up, like rubber bands really hardcore. So yeah. I delved in the internet, try to figure out what's going on because my CPU usage wasn't up, and it's a Steam controller setting with Elden Ring. So there's a software conflict. Again, I'm getting this from Reddit, from somebody who says they're a software developer. But anyways, it works. It said go in there and disable the Steam controller settings and it should stop. I did that and I'm like back to smooth sailing. But yeah, it's like ever so often it just like fucking like I'll do something, right? Like try an action. Bitch. It doesn't even matter. And it just frames down to like, I don't know, 20 FPS and then just rubber bands back up to max.
That shit was happening to me too.
Yeah, just turn off controller settings.
Well, I use a PS4 controller on my PC. Or a PS5 controller on my PC. And that is...
Of course you do.
What?
Overbuild everything. Yes, and I also use a PlayStation controller for my PC.
I use a PlayStation controller because I don't like the Xbox controllers.
Says every elitist, as every PC gamer elitist.
I don't
just like got the through Xbox talking about controllers. How somebody's score was higher than you on a game that runs on a fucking potato, and you're like, and I use my PS5 controller too. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Come on. I just prefer the only thing I don't like about the PS5 controller on PC is that the triggers are either off or on a PC, whereas on PlayStation. On the PlayStation, they're the adaptive triggers.
Right. So it's just however hard you pull on them.
Right. So on PC, these triggers are extra sensitive. Like you tap them just barely in that, and it will send, oh, you press the trigger. And that's gotten me killed a few times in Elden Ring and on all the Dark Souls games.
Yeah, I just use the good old Xbox wireless controller, brand name. Don't use the off brands because I've had a lot of bad luck with those.
Well, I don't even like the, you know, the brand name Xbox controllers. There's something about the PlayStation controller that just fits. It makes the most sense.
I mean, the 5 hours of battery life?
It's a little bit wider.
It's the battery life issue for me that kills it for me.
Oh, well, I've got this permanently connected with a really long fucking USB or USB cable, so I don't have that problem.
Yeah, my wireless everything.
Well, I'm also at my PC and not at a fucking, you know, out looking at a TV in my living room. So there's a bit of a difference there. I can concede that.
Yeah, it's the whole reason I haven't played a lot of PS5 lately is just the controller. Like, if I want to binge, that's not actually the reason. The actual reason is I've been struggle bussing my way through several Souls games. And you keep saying you don't have enough time, but boy, howdy, have you not beat Elden Ring 3 times in the time that it's taken me to start it and play 3 Souls games.
Okay. All right. So
now, granted, I played Souls 2.
I don't have time.
Souls 2, it took me, granted, that took me like, I don't know, 75 hours or something, or 90 hours. Like, it is easily the longest one aside from all Elden Ring. Elden Ring, I've got an 88-hour save right now. And I'm in the tornado area, wherever the fuck that's called.
Oh, Crumbling Faramazula.
Yes. I'm going to talk about that for a second, because I've been like, you did your New Game Plus run to get the final achievements, so now you have all your achievements.
Yes.
On your last run, you said you sped run it. What did you do to speed run it?
So, I say speed run it, but speed running it for me. Like, I didn't necessarily do any skips or anything like that. Basically, all I did was just mainline the story and didn't do anything else.
Is that like 30 hours?
That took me about 10 hours to do.
Really? Well, I guess you're at a New Game Plus level, so everything's got like 25% more health, but you're already on a fully decked out build, so you're probably
a brand new build.
But so you're probably not worried too much about, like, oh, I need to reallocate, or, you know, like, you can't take your weapons any higher. I mean, they're either plus 25 or plus 10, you know?
Right. So I wasn't hunting upgrade materials. I wasn't hunting for new weapons because I already had, you know, the previous playthrough, I had spent a lot of time getting all of the incantations, all of the spells, all of the weapons that I could that weren't like
I'm following the cowboy walkthrough, and so I basically have every single item in the game right now, which is why I talked about this ad nauseum last week, but just as a recap, I literally watched like 3 episodes of his back to back on 2x speed and make little cliff notes on a notepad on what I need to do, and I've got a really good memory, so I kind of remember what to do. It's just when there's a lot of weaving around somewhere that sometimes I have to make extra notes. So I'll sit there and watch it at 2x speed for about 45 minutes. So I can get through 3 episodes basically in 45 minutes. And then I'll spend 2.5 hours like scouring that area that he set up, getting everything. And then I'll go back and do that's exactly what I'm going to do after this, right? I'm going to watch to see what I would have missed, you know, because I remember the area, but I don't remember everything. And there's whole fucking dungeons that I missed the last time I played this game. So, like, I literally have fucking everything up to this point. Yeah. And I'm, like, everything he's having trouble with, I'm got my legs under me so hard, like, I one-shot just about everything. Like, I'm looking forward to the Millennia fight because I'm just going to fucking obliterate her. Like, I've got tools for everything, and I probably need to retool my build a little bit. I've got a... We've got 4 options, so, and then I'm sure you've got a build too. I've got Arcane up a little bit, so like my Arcane's at like 25, but my Dex is at freaking 75, right? And I need to up my Dex a little bit more so I don't have to use the Godric Rune. But I've got that Tree Sentinel Spear maxed. I've got the Naga Kiba and the what's the blood sword called?
Rivers of Blood.
Rivers of Blood. So I dual wield Nagakiba and Rivers of Blood, or I use the spiky shield plus the tree spear. I've been using the scythe a little bit. I only put it up to like plus 23 so far because I've kind of, it's not scaling as hard as those are.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the Knight Rider flail for anything that needs strike damage. And the Knight Rider flail actually does not do bad, but I've got Giant Hunt on the fucking spear and everything that anybody has trouble on, like an invader, just use Giant Hunt. Like you just fucking knock them off their feet and then you just do it like three or four times and they're done. All these like ridiculous enemies that got all these wind up fucking weapon arcs, like fucking Giant Hunt, like you just stab upward, knock them way off their feet. It's like two hits for a lot of things. Those big fucking death dudes that spew death all over the place.
Oh yeah,
fucking tear them apart. And then the dragons, I use the double swords with all that fucking bleed. I've got bleed and cold, and just fucking decimate it. And I've got the Rikard's rapier and the rot rapier, but I got Rikard's with blood and the other one with rot, and it's blood cold on Rikard's, and then the other one is rot on the other with the fast stabby blood. So like bleed, rot, cold with the rapiers on a boss fight, and it decimates. And I got the fucking dragon breast because I've got enough arcane. It's not the big dragon breast, but it's enough to get rot out. And so, like, fighting a big dragon, just rot the fuck out of it real quick and then go to town and use that knife's tish, whatever, dude, to, like, drop their health. And I'm just watching chunks of shit happen from, like, I hit a dragon in that area, and I proc'd bleed on him four times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck, man? And I just got to roll out of the way. Like, at this point, like, dragons, I stopped aiming for the head and just go hit the tail and the ankles until blood procs. But, not having a lot of issues. Like, this is definitely the easiest Souls game, but it's really satisfying. Like, there are different times, again, like some of the areas in that area, the tree spear works amazingly well because of the block and riposte thing. Because the tree spear has a pretty solid whack, and those beastmen takes one whack and then one critical hit, and they're done. So, like, that is ridiculous too. Like all the death birds, once I realized Sacred Blade fucking decimates them, it was just Nagakiba plus Sacred Blade, or before it was Uchikatana and Sacred Blade was taking out the fucking death birds. I've killed all the fucking knights, I've killed all the fucking death birds, I've done every single catacomb. I've got almost all the barrel bearings. I just did, right before we did the cast, I did the double godskin guys. Single attempt. I was watching him and he's doing like a quality build and it took him a couple of times. He's getting fucking landed and I just lined him up, rotted him, and then me and Black Teesh just went in there and like fucking bled the fuck out of him. And I just don't even worry. It's like, I'm not going to even be that defensive. I'm just going to roll around and just hit you 9,000 times in 10 seconds. Just double swording it the whole way. Like I just fuck it. And then for all the chunky boys in the town, like it's easier to use the spear and shield. So like I've got all of my options. I tried the Godskin Pillar and Eleanor's Pole Blade.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have my arcane high enough for that to be a big deal. Or maybe I just need to use Godskin on my right hand since it's the dex one. And just trying to power stance that. I've also got that what's the pole blade you get from Mog? Mog's the thing where you pop the spear down and it shoots a bunch of blood up in the air.
Oh, the ritual spear.
It doesn't hit nearly as hard as all my other stuff. It's got a really cool looking weapon arc, but I think I need to up my arcane.
If you go like really deep into arcane and you do that weapon art, it will, you know, if you just sit there and just like continually hit that weapon art, and he'll go fucking stab the fucking, you know, stab the sky and fucking rain will, you know, blood rain will come down.
Yeah, it's very
like burn everything.
It's very Slayer. Like I like that part about it. It's very rain and blood.
Yeah.
Like I could probably respec and do 55-55 or 60-60 dex arcane, but I just haven't. And I like the fact that I'm a thick boy that has really good dex. That game's fun, man. Like I'm so pumped for Shadow of the Erdtree, and then the more I read about it, the, you know, the differences in the way that game works, the more hyped I am, and the more I'm glad that I'm not going to be a caster, like seeing that a lot of people are getting, that it's a, there's some stuff that hits pretty chunky, and I can wear almost full heavy armor with my current build as a dex character, which is crazy because I got freaking 40 stamina.
Yeah.
Like the, to me, that makes sense, right? Like having a lot of stamina just means a whole lot of attacks. Which also means you can also wear really heavy shit.
Well, I'm going to do a little bit different. Like my 10-hour run, I went as a full incantation build. Like I did mage, I did sorcerer, but I have never actually done incantations, like faith. So I went full like 80 faith, fucking deep. I was using the coded sword because it scales off of faith. And I went.
It looks neat too.
It's like a lightsaber. And I went. Initially, I went fire and was doing it like a pyro build.
Yeah.
But I changed up and I went lightning. And I found that lightning was way easier for me to use because I could get shit. You know, I had options, right? But when I went lightning, you can get a spell called Ancient Dragon Lightning, and it basically just shoots down a bunch of lightning, red lightning bolts all over the place.
I think I just picked up that spell book.
It is a boss melter at fucking like high faith, because you get up next to a boss and you fucking charge that shit up and you just put, you know, and you know, cast it, and it fucking every lightning bolt is a separate hit. So if it's a big boss, and there's a lot of big bosses, it will take massive chunks off of the health bar. Like Elden Beast lived for like maybe a minute.
Jason, you need to play this at some point. Like, it's incredibly satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot about 250 hours in it, and the rest of you probably about 300 hours in or something crazy at this point. It's definitely turning into one of my most played games. And then Shadow just gives us more options, right? It's his grand finale for Miyazaki. So I am sure that, like, there hasn't been a negative review yet of the people that got to do the preview.
No, it's been pretty positive, and a lot of people are, you know, are getting hyped for it. I am actually going to go and do yet another build. I'm just going to continue off of the New Game Plus that I just finished, because I didn't start New Game Plus again. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to get up to the point where it, you know, I can actually get into the DLC, which, if you haven't heard, you have to actually have killed Moog, the blood person, blood guy. So that's the requirement in the story. But Moog's what I'm going to do, it's not that hard at all. The build that I'm going to do is double spiked hammer.
Yeah, the spiked hammer is cool. I really wanted claws to work, but I just cannot get the same kind of damage out of claws like I can with everything else. And I think that's the same thing with, like, the spinning twin blades.
Yep.
I think it's cool. I think it works great on a boss, but it doesn't interrupt as well as my fucking spear. My swords are fast enough that I can build up damage really fast. But the twin blades, for whatever reason, I cannot make them as effective as two katanas.
Nah, the...
Like, my two katanas, like...
are,
like,
the only thing that you get from twin blades, especially if you're dual-wielding them, is jump attacks. They're really... You know, it's very good jump attacks, but I don't think that that's a fun gameplay style where I'm jumping and hitting every enemy just to get the damage that I want.
Yeah.
I want to have options. I want to be able to roll in and out and do pokes and slashes and shit like that.
I don't remember what they call them, but basically the great rapiers have some really cool attacks. I can't remember the name of it, but I've got one that causes bleed that's got it looks like a big spiral horn. And when you hit the
heavy thrusting.
Yeah. you hit the L2 on it, it shoots you back so you can use it as a dodge and then hit your heavy, and then he just charges in and like it guard breaks. And I've nice. Used that with what is it? Godskin Peel, not Godskin Peeler. With the other
Stitcher?
Stitcher, yeah. That with the Stitcher is the other one I'm working on. I've got to get those to 25, and I'm going to try that out. I've tried it out, like, just on the knights in that tornado area, and it worked mm-hmm. pretty good. It wasn't up to the same damage as my max-level weapons, but the move set was really good. Like, right. guard breaking was still happening, and as a dex build, having a guard break is really awesome, to be honest with you. When yeah, I can power stance and guard break, like, that's a big deal.
I want to go, like, full-on Oonga Boonga. So, spike hammers, I think, is going to be the way to go. Because
I didn't know. Like, that tree spear, mm-hmm. if you're a pure dex build, that thing is chunky as fuck. I have the tree spear hitting right now for, like just if I set it keen on a natural warrior. Again, I've got it on the giant hunter. No buffs, and again, you can buff it again with that, which is the other reason I like it that way. On a keen, mm-hmm. hits it like 774, which is as hard yeah. as like the fucking quality, what's the curved sword that everybody likes?
Oh, the Bloodhound Blade?
Yeah, it hits as hard as that, but like it interrupts. And that's the thing I like about that is it interrupts any, you know, they're winding up, you hit your attack with giant hunter, interrupts and knocks them off their feet, and as they're getting back up, you just hit it again, and they're done. More times than not, that's all you got to do.
Yep.
It's just crazy. Like, those death birds. Like, I took out the fucking death birds with the giant hunt.
Wait. Oonga Boonga. It isn't that band, you know?
That's Oingo Boingo.
Down. Back it up again.
No. That's not.
I mean, so, that's basically what you're doing in the game, right?
That's Tub Thumper you're thinking.
So, with all this being said, Rusty's going to have a little bit more of this played by the time it comes out, because come Friday, MC Chris is going to be in town, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to go see that, and then I've got a all-day photo shoot on Saturday in Oklahoma City. So, I'll probably have barely touched Shadow of the Erd Tree. If I go to MC Chris, I'm not going to... I will have barely touched it by the time we talk about this next week. So, Rusty, it's on you to play the thing that everybody wants to play.
Oh, which boy. All right, so...
You're going to be so mad.
I'm just going to be... I'm... The pressure's on, man. I feel it. I feel it mounting. As I'm sitting here farming souls and Dark Souls 3, because whatever. I have just kind of rotated games, these two games, over and over again. I've beat Dark Souls 3, go back to Elden Ring, beat Elden Ring, go back to Dark Souls 3. But it's, these games are too good. They're just too good.
There's not another game that scratches the itch the same way. You could try Neo. There's just something about Neo that it just doesn't hit the same. It doesn't hit the yeah. same way. And there's a literally, if you, what was the puppet game that I played last year?
The Lies of P.
It scratches it pretty close. You don't have so Lies of P, the word I would say is it's more curated, right? Like, there's less weapon options. And it's not a dodging game, it's a parry game. But the parry window is pretty easy, honestly. Like, if you've got good at parrying in Elden Ring, you can... I think Lies of P is a little bit easier. Everything's telegraphed, you parry.
It is definitely a lot more telegraphed. I really enjoyed that game, though, for what it was.
Oh, I didn't know that you played Lies of P.
Yep. Yeah. That was before my Game Pass expired.
Yeah, you know, if you're looking for, it'd take you 40 hours, Rusty.
Okay.
If that. I didn't watch a guide. I played it and beat it.
I think I beat it in like 25.
Well, I've got this. So, I mean, I am in full, like, Dark Souls territory here. I know Final Fantasy 14 is coming. And I know that that's and that's like 17 days away. So I have Elden Ring that I need to basically shore up my saves so that I can, you know, jump right into the DLC. I have, you know, the rest of my Dark Souls 3 playthrough here, which I'm doing a dex build on Dark Souls 3, which is very interesting because I haven't actually used a bleed weapon before this, and it seems to be doing all right. I also have Bloodborne downloaded to my PlayStation.
You tried out Demon Souls and that just didn't click with you.
I tried Demon Souls and oh boy. So
you can't power stance that game. You need to do sword and board or sorcery in that game.
I realized what the problem was with Demon Souls though, is compared to basically all the Dark Souls games. I mean, it feels a lot like Dark Souls 1 as far as its roll times, but there is some form of disconnect with how rolling works in Demon Souls. You're not really supposed to roll away from all of your attacks. You're supposed to block
or roll into them.
But that's the thing, is it feels weird because it feels like the animations were built for 30 frames per second. Like the hit frames were built for 30 frames, but it's running at much higher. And the animations are more fluid. So when you think it's going to hit is not actually when it feels like it's going to hit. And you either roll too early or too late. And I got my ass handed to me by fucking trash mobs just because things just don't flow right. It just doesn't mesh correctly. There's like something's wrong.
I mean, it is the first one of those.
So it, you know,
well, I say that it's not Kingsfield.
I enjoy that game a lot. And I'm not completely done with it. What I'm done with is trying to figure out why it was not feeling like feeling as tight as some of the other ones. And it just seems like if you're going to put all of that effort into the graphics, because that game looks great.
It's the best looking one right now.
Yeah, it looks great. It just, if you're going to put that much effort into it, you know, don't use the same like animations as your 30 frames per second fucking PlayStation game. You know, your PS1 game. I don't use the same animations. I know you want to stay as true to it as possible, but you've also built Dark Souls 3 and you're calling this a remake. You've already you have the ability to make things fluid. Why didn't you?
Well, it was a different company that did that.
But I understand it's the game, you know, there's other options out there that did it right. I mean, Dark Souls 3 is great. It has its flaws, and I understand those flaws, but gameplay-wise, it's extremely fun. If I sit down to Demon's Souls, it looks pretty, but it's not fun. Something about it just doesn't feel right. So that's very much a, you know, to me, it feels like a botched remake.
I haven't played it immediately after everything else. I tore through it pretty quickly. Although I know I'm not going to have enough time to do it because I've got other things in the docket that I'm trying to mess with at the same time.
Right. It's just, it just to me, it doesn't feel quite right. Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm too used to the, you know, to the newer Souls games, but it just didn't seem right. And maybe I'm just doing it wrong. Maybe I just need to go into that game and not do what all the guides tell me to do and do a sorcery build. I should just go in there and just pick up the heaviest fucking piece of, you know, a piece of gear I've got and just fucking hit people with iron. You know, maybe just a straight up fucking strength build is all I need. You know,
the basics are pretty strong in original Demon Souls. You can.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. You don't have Ashes of War or anything like that. Like every weapon just has an R1 and an R2 and then a two handed moveset for that, you know.
Mm hmm.
And that's all there is to it. So it,
maybe I could just find a good spear if it's that. I mean, I don't know. There's something about Demon Souls. It doesn't hit right unless I do just the right fucking thing. And casting, not the right fucking thing. So maybe that's just the way it's going to be for me.
Yeah, I was supposed to play something else this week, and I kind of not quite figured out the strategy for Songs of Conquest, so that got backburnered because I kind of told myself, you have to finish Elden Ring before Shadow comes out. You have to do that. So that's where my mindset has been. Because I was going to play the, what's the fucking vampire game? This is how my brain's thinking today. I'm a little sick.
V Rising?
V Rising's in 1.0 right now. And it's a good game to listen to a podcast or, you know, music while you play. But again, that's kind of like my other thing on the docket right now. They're also just released Shin Megami Tensei, 27, which looks really interesting. I like the Demon Summoner games. But again, the timing on it could not be worse. And I'm trying to say to myself, like, hey, be smart about this. Don't get all the fucking things and then put it in your backlog forever while you play Elden Ring for a month and a half. So I just put it on an Excel sheet of things that I'm going to buy. And then I just mark it off after I'm done. Because it's not going to get more expensive.
Yeah, well.
And Steam sales happen like in a week. So like it might be at like 10% off or something.
It's not going to get more expensive. You say that now. But.
Well, I mean, unless you're Assassin's Creed, like, aren't they offering, like, a $120 version of that game? Like, seriously, fuck you,
Ubi. They'd offer a fucking $800 version of that game. I'm sure that at least one whale will buy it, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, what we haven't talked about is, Jason, you got Game Pass. Did you do anything other than download Hellblade 2?
Nope. Unfortunately, just another... I had another week of just being too busy between the pool and kid activities and getting ready to go camping next week. And I still have to either tonight or tomorrow morning get up on top of my camper and like clean out the condenser coils and shit for the AC. So it's just been kind of a really busy week.
Well, if you wanted to play Hellblade, it's very possible. It saves about every 2 minutes or so. So it's an autosaver.
Yeah.
You can
I would like to get into that game when I know I'm going to be able to sit down with it for at least a couple hours.
It'll look better if you're not streaming it. Like,
and be able to get, you know, some significant, at least starting progress through the game.
It took me 7.5 hours of kind of taking my time.
Yeah. I mean, I know how kind of tricky it was to get combat down in the first one, so I know I need at least a couple hours of pure sit-down time with it to really, really get into it, so... That's just kind of where I've been sitting. So hopefully by the next podcast, I'll have something. Because I plan on, like, Friday, after being outdoors all fucking week, I plan on just sitting down with it and hitting it hard.
Yeah, I try to. Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd mentioned Octopath Traveler. I don't think you'll like that game the way you think you'll like that game. That game is a whole lot of talking and very little gaming. If you really get into the story, that's great, but...
I mean, I played the first one on my Switch.
Yeah. Well, the second one is right there. You've got you could try Remnant 2. Like, Remnant 2 would be more worth your time.
Yeah, I'll play Octopath Traveler 2 at some point. I just, I don't know when that will be.
And you got Bloodstained is also in there as well. I'm looking through. Paterno 3, if you're looking for something that hardcore JRPG.
Yes. Persona. Oh.
Bloodstained's all right. As far as the Metroidvania, it's an all right fucking Metroidvania. You can get really overpowered though, so it doesn't feel like it right away, but you can get super overpowered in that game. But it was, you know, some of the spells are really powerful. I enjoyed it. It was a fun time.
Yeah, there's a lot on there. Like I said, it's I'm just kind of looking to see what's available on looking using my phone.
And who knows, maybe I'll finish Ghostwire Tokyo at some point.
Yeah, if it's not clicking with you, it's not clicking with you. I like that game a lot, but I could see how it's not for everybody.
My problem was there was so much to try to touch that I think I only got like 12 hours in, and it just wasn't clicking at that time. It's definitely like in the style of games that I generally play. But
have you ever played Control?
I fucking love Control.
Okay. I was going to Control.
That was one of my I played it way too late games.
Yeah, I was going to say that's on there too. Just trying to think, like Dead Cells is fucking mint. But,
oh God,
Dead Cells is so good.
Dead Cells is worth every time.
What else is on here? I'm just scrolling through. Everspace 2 is on there. That's pretty fucking good. Better off playing Fallout on Steam because you can mod it a lot easier.
The Callisto Protocol's on there too.
Unless you're Trent and just bought into the whole idea, it's like an 8-hour game.
Yeah.
It wasn't widely received well because of things. I'm trying to think, like, what else is on here that's just, like, amazing? I'm just scrolling. Things that maybe you haven't played. Liza P, of course.
I mean, there's a lot of crap on there I haven't played, but there's also a lot of crap. There's a lot of games on there that I just probably won't ever play.
I mean, that's the same with me.
What do you mean? You're not going to play all the really old Elder Scrolls games?
I mean, both Oris are on there.
Yes.
Yeah, I've played and beat both Oris.
If you're looking for tactics, Phoenix Point's actually pretty fucking good. It's hard as shit. And it is a different playthrough every time. I've put like 400 hours into that fucking game. And both Remnants are both excellent games.
Yeah, I've played Remnant 1. I still need to play Remnant 2.
2's on Game Pass.
Yeah, I think it came out like right before my Game Pass expired. So I didn't play it with y'all. I know I need to play it at some point. I know it's a good time.
Don't waste your time with Lamplighter League. It's a dud from that company. They've done better with Shadowrun. Torment's on there. Tides of Numenera. If you want a straight up like hardcore RPG, War Tales is like
Torment too, though.
Yeah,
like most of the RPGs that are in there. I've played. I just didn't necessarily discuss them on the podcast because I was playing them like 3 years after you played them.
I'm playing Dark Souls fucking 8 years after it came out. So,
at the time, those were well and dead. And like at the time I played Torment, I had finished Torment like right before Guardians of the Galaxy came out. Yeah, there's, and then I mainlined that hard to talk about it.
Yeah, and what I'm looking at is just what's available on cloud. There's a different lineup for PC than there is cloud and for console. Like, yeah. You can play fucking Battletech on Game Pass. And Brotato, if you haven't played Brotato, that's a good time waster.
Brotato's just silly, but it's good.
But yeah, do you think we gotta take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, guys.
Sounds good.
We'll be back. And we're back for part two.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Looking through the news, Rusty's probably grinding souls as we speak.
Yeah. Well, kinda. I'm looking through some news right now because, I mean, there's gonna be some things.
Well, like I was talking about the Shin Megami Tensei game. If you want to get it on sale, Green Man has it. Like $52. I just checked because I wanted to know if it was something I wanted to play later. So that's one option for you. I've got some other things. So I want to talk about for just a minute. I told everybody that I was going to actually look at. So Dragon Age, the original, is one of my favorite games.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because it is the original. It was like an expansion on Baldur's Gate style combat. It still had, it was a little bit hinky, right? It was the product of its time. Like, it was pause motion, you know, pause combat, right? So it was tactical pause and you'd queue up actions and then see what everybody's action order was or turn order was. And that's how that game played out. And then 2 came and it was pretty action oriented. It was pretty stripped down and it was a very beeline story. A lot of reused assets and felt like it was super rushed out. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So like for us, again, me loving Hawk and the story, but really hating the gameplay. Like it was definitely a 3.5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
The combat was way off. And then Inquisition came out and they kind of got it right, but not quite. Like, the problem with Inquisition is there's not a lot to do in the open area, and so it still feels very corridored. And they tried to make it more tactical as it went along. Like, way later, they set up an update where you could actually kind of play it with an overview and play it kind of tactically for the harder stuff. It was a little bit better. It wasn't bad, but it still was not the same as Inquisition. The story wasn't bad. There's a lot of it, but the combat itself was pretty button mashy still. It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, get your shit together. The first game was so good. Your first entry into it. And it's because I think at the time, you know, Inquisition came out like 10 years ago, right? I think a lot of people thought that the Baldur's Gate style RPG was dead, right? And in the last 10 years, there's been a lot of things that happened. Let's not, you know, obviously Baldur's Gate, which sold gangbusters last year. It became one of the best games released, period, of all time. Like, definitely in the top 20 of all time. And out of modern games, easily the best game last year. Like, rivals Elden Ring in terms of quality, for sure. It's a fantastic game. But prior to that, you had Planes of Torment, Tides of Numenera, which was a very solid entry. Easy 4.25 out of 5. If you like text-heavy games, right? But very detailed systems in that game. You had what was the other Obsidian one? I just can't think of it right now. There was 1 and 2. Pillars of Eternity. Yeah. 2 had some flaws with some of the combat with the naval stuff and the traveling, but like overall, very solid game. Even released a turn-based mode for that game. Very, very solid game. In fact, that's something you could play, Jason. If you haven't played that, that's a very solid game. And play it in turn-based mode. It'll take you for fucking ever. But it's a great game. And so, like, Dragon Age in the last 5 years, like, we've had a revival of this stuff. And for whatever reason, again, BioWare's been bought out by EA. EA seems to think that we like generic action games with some RPG trappings, because that's what Veilguard looks like. I know that there's the common comment, which I think is stupid. It looks like Fortnite. I don't think it looks like Fortnite, but they kind of went for more of a comic book style art style. Less like in the first three Dragon Age games, like everything's covered in blood all the time. Like every time you explode somebody's guts, like there's blood covering everything all the time, and it's awesome.
The first Dragon Age looks like they took a lot of heavy inspiration from like Castlevania as far as like how character models set up, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, this new one
looks like a cartoon version of Mass Effect.
Yes, that's a good example. It does have, so it has some of like the Mass Effect 3, like hold down action button and set commands. With the preview, I didn't get enough of an idea of like how in depth those commands are, but it kind of looks like your companions are throwaway characters that engage in combat on their own, and then you occasionally order them to do things, right? Yep. Not nearly as in-depth even as Mass Effect. And the combat itself is – it looks janky. I'm just going to say that. Like, here's the thing. If you're going to go and be an action RPG, right? You need to have some systems like an Elden Ring where, you know, you kind of got three different animation classes, right, based on your weight. You've got different movesets for all the weapons. There's a tactical push and pull to that game because it is tuned around those metrics. This doesn't have that at all. It's just kind of warp around and hit something and then use an ability and warp back and then dodge when things are flashing and, you know, watch out for the danger circles on the ground and just mash buttons. Ad nauseum, which, you know, at least Mass Effect, right? Like you're finding cover in those big battles and you're popping out of cover and shooting people, headshotting, and then occasionally using an ability, or you've got a whole bunch of people with stasis or whatever, right? And so you're having them kind of crowd control for you while you're fighting. This might have some similar abilities, but the melee stuff in that format, I don't know that it works that well because you need to have more in-depth melee than what you have. It feels really arcadey and generic. And then I'm not on top of just the fucking art style. The art style itself looks very cartoony. Nothing looks scary. Nothing has that dark fantasy appeal to it. There's nothing covered in blood. And they already kind of revealed to us what's going to happen to Solas. So, like, that story doesn't feel complete. But, like, it's just a shadow of what it used to be. Like, it is a very bare-bones RPG over a very shallow action game with a whole lot of voice dialogue is what it looks like, with very small illusion to choice. I don't know how they even think they're going to compare with everything else that's out there right now that's better. It's literally just an IP. I'm not going to spend money for just an IP. I want a good game. And I'm heavily disappointed by the stuff I'm seeing right now. Did you guys get a chance to look at the gameplay?
I mean, I only saw a little bit, and I'll tell you.
I saw enough to heavily disappoint me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of the original, just like you. And I think the best take that I saw, was the comment that you made on was it IGN's post or whatever? That Baldur's Gate 3 is basically the dark the Dragon Age that we wanted. It rings true because the origin of Dragon Age for us, the very first game, played a lot like Baldur's Gate.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was a better take on Baldur's Gate is what it was. Like, they modernized that. It did work on consoles because my first attempt at Dragon Age Inquisition, it was a 360 title that I played through to completion like three times. I played every single origin character's story. because I wanted to see all the endings. So like it's like three or four endings. You got the dwarf, you got the elf and the human, and then somebody else, I think. But anyways, like I went through all of those stories and played it on a console with pause combat and enjoyed the fuck out of it. Like, I don't remember my gameplay time. And then, you know, I got it on PC later after I got in a Titan back in like 2012 and modded the hell out of it, made it look a lot prettier, and then played it again when Inquisition was about to come out. And then when Inquisition came out, I was like, it's not as good a game as Origins.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, it's- no, but Inquisition was still better than 2.
Everything's better than 2. Like, this might actually be better than... No, the writing in 2 was pretty solid, but the... Like, there was a really unique concept with 2 where Hawk, I think, was the character. He grows up through the game, but it just continues to reuse assets from that city and then kind of, like, use, like, 5 tile sets for all the dungeons you go into. Like, it's incredibly generic on the side content. The main story is pretty cool, but like you could mainline that game in like 15 hours. It
right.
It was such a letdown for after you played fucking Inquisition. And then the DLC for Inquisition, like it had the DLC by itself was like 30 hours. Like it was a chunky ass game. It's such a solid game. Like at this point I kind of hope modders in the wake of this, you know, Veilguard just, like, fucking redo all the textures in that game and just remove a lot of the fucking janky-ass textures and just redo it in, like, 4K. Because I don't even want to support the idea of what they're doing. And the problem is this is going to do fairly poorly, except for people with, like, younger kids that just don't know video games, right? Or just like, oh, yeah, I played Dragon Age when I was younger, and now they don't play video games, and then they buy this game for their kids because it looks kind of kid-safe, right? And then... That's either the direction that they think they're going to go now with EA and BioWare, or, you know, it just does so poorly that, you know, that's the final nail in the coffin for BioWare and BioWare faults. But BioWare isn't the doctors anymore. Like, BioWare is just BioWare and name only. Like, that, don't get hung up on that either.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of things.
Yep. That's just the way that went, unfortunately.
I mean... Unfortunately, the only development team that has had any original members come back for anything is the new Mass Effect team. Otherwise, I mean, there's not hardly anybody there at BioWare that was there when they were kicking out really great original stories.
Yeah, like, out of all the Mass Effects, like, 3's the weakest link, but kind of has some of the best moment-to-moment gameplay. Like, story-wise, it didn't quite wrap up right. Like, 2 is where it's at for Mass Effect. Mass Effect 2 is perfect. Like, damn near perfect. It's such a good game. But I don't think that Mass Effect gameplay translates to a melee game. I think you have to do it differently for a melee game.
I agree.
That's a cover shooter mixed with an RPG. There's no cover.
The only way that possibly works is if you're going on a pure magic game, but that just feels phony to me. Right?
Yeah, I'm really worried about the state of that franchise. And, you know, we don't have another Baldur's Gate coming from Larian. So we know that's not going to be a thing. Like, when's the next big, like, actual RPG? It's not an action RPG, like a full-fledged RPG. Well, I guess you got Shimigami Tensei if you want a JRPG, but I want a Western D&D Might and Magic-style RPG. And I just don't see anything like that right now on the horizon. There are a lot of action games coming out. But
I start to say, don't hold your breath.
Maybe everybody's intimidated by trying to even match the quality of Baldur's Gate 3. Like, the quality on that game is just so good. Such a good game. Like, nobody has done that style of game better than they did it. To this day. Yeah. Like, there's no games that have been as good as Baldur's Gate 3.
Well, I mean, they did put the bar pretty high.
It's a 4.9 game. Like, it's damn near perfect. It's got some pacing issues and the third chapter. That's all that's wrong with it.
Yeah, and that's another game that I will eventually revisit and play again, because that game is solid.
I started to say, you talking about this in conjunction with what we've seen of that new Dragon Age game's making me want to go back and play it again.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of game that I can get behind and just, and yeah. I mean, instead of buying the new Dragon Age, I'll probably just play, Baldur's Gate 3 again. That's probably what's going to end up happening. That's how disappointed that makes me.
Yeah, and I still have to play through Phantom Liberty too. Speaking of other great game.
Right.
Either way, it's not Dragon Age, and it's not, or Dragon Age in name only, and we can say that pretty confidently, I think.
Yeah, I'm getting closer and closer to just straight up boycotting Ubi on every release at this point.
Well, I mean,
Shadows at this point has $109 pre-order edition, right? I'm looking on Amazon just to see. You can play up to 3 days early and get a bunch of in-game extras for $109, and then the base game is $69. I'm so fucking over Ubisoft. If any studio needs to fold, it's that fucking studio. They need different design philosophies. They need different directors. They need different leadership altogether, and they need to get out under whoever is making these decisions to make the same copy-paste fucking game.
You're not wrong. I mean, the bullshit that they try to put in there is all just extra. They want extra. It needs to be put in there to keep the gamers playing that game for an extra hour or extra 2 hours.
It's designed to keep you on Ubisoft Plus. That's the problem. The game is designed to keep you on that subscription service. And that's what they're doing with that stuff, is they're adding like bullshit things to do that really aren't that fun to keep you playing the fucking game so you can subscribe to that service. This isn't an MMO. It's a single player game. Release a good single player game and I will pluck and play it, but I am not buying your bullshit. The only time I'm going to buy your shit is if it's on fucking Game Pass, or it's one of the old games that were actually good that had a similar design philosophy, but not the just keep you engaged with bullshit philosophy that Ubi has been doing for, I don't know, 10 years now. I'm over Ubi right now.
No. I think a lot of people are actually over Ubi right now.
Anybody our age is. Anybody in their mid-30s probably is. It's only a younger generation that's grown up with bullshit gaming that even puts up with it, right? And hopefully the older generation like still kind of stands up to that stuff and just doesn't support it. Like, I think it's our generation that really pushed Baldur's Gate 3 so hard because it was a representation of a game we used to like, Baldur's Gate 2. Dragon Age Inquisition, right? Pillars of Eternity. Like, I don't know that there's been anything that fucking solid. But speaking of stuff that may be solid, looking at some of the trailers for Monster Hunter Wilds, I was pretty fucking impressed.
Oh, dude. I cannot fucking wait for that game, man. That is
going to be out next year. Holy shit, does that game look good, though. There's a quote from the director saying that he aims to push the hardware to the max to bring the world to life.
Yeah.
It does not look like cartoony bullshit. It is a good looking game.
Well, I mean,
cartoony stuff has its place, but not Monster Hunter.
This is, the only thing that I don't like about the Monster Hunter games is the optional, cosmetic bullshit DLCs, because there's like a fuckload of
them. It's super optional, though.
But it is super optional. You don't have to do that to get to get those games. And honestly, I mean, it's kind of a scummy tactic. But that being said, the game this game looks to be kind of like, you know, this generation's world.
Yeah.
You know, Monster Hunter World, when that came out, I chewed that game up and I loved that game. And then when I played it on PC, I loved it even more at 60 FPS or above. 30 FPS was playable, but boy, was it rough. Getting it on PC made a whole big difference. You know, having that, you know, that experience on modern consoles or even on PC, which is where I plan on playing it. I can't wait to get back in there. Like, you know, Rise was all right, and I enjoyed playing Rise, but it was it just felt different. Like, this allows, you know, from what I've seen of Wild so far, it allows you just to kind of like go out into the, you know, on like a long ass hunt in an, you know, in an open world situation and just kind of like go to where the monsters would be, you know, and just go. And all of the Monster Hunter games up to this point have been, you know, load up this hunt. It's got a specific set parameter. You're after this particular, you know, monster. Sure, there's other monsters in, you know, in that map, but, you know, you're after this one monster or these two monsters or three or whatever. And you have a specific time limit, and yeah, you can't go between maps. I'm hoping that this allows you to just kind of like freely flow between areas and be able to pick up hunts for those areas. It's just kind of like will tie the world together even better. I have high hopes, you know.
Yeah,
I don't even care hopes. That there's like I don't even care that there's like rideable you know, the rideable monsters or whatever. You know, that's a cool feature, but I see that as like, oh cool, it's a mount. I've played enough MMOs to understand what this means. I'm looking forward to it, and it looks beautiful now, and you know, from, you know, the in-game rendering, I'd like to see more gameplay
if
possible
too.
Just to be able to get a good gauge of how this is going to play out. But that's just a problem with trailers these days, right? So, you know, and I've been kind of itching for another Monster Hunter game. Like, Rise wasn't enough. Like, what I want is another world, you know?
Well, there's something that kind of has Remnant vibes called The First Descendant that comes out in a couple weeks.
Okay.
I don't know much else about it, but it comes out on July 2nd on PC.
Okay. That might be something to take a look at.
And then I think on Game Pass, you've got Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn comes out on July 18th, and then Frostpunk 2. Once Human also comes out on July 9th, which is a weird dystopian cooperative survival game. It's like fucking robots and lasers and all sorts of shit. Which that might be kind of cool too. But I will probably check out some of those next month, as I'm not as photo shoot heavy next month as I was this month. But Frostpunk 2 is also day one on Game Pass, which is pretty fucking nice. If you liked Frostpunk, well, there's more of it. But there's not a lot of like Shadow of the Erdtree, I think, is so big, right? Like, who knows how fast we chew through the content, but like, it's such a big release. Like, I think people have kind of went around that of releasing anything else in June. There's just not a lot of June releases. Other, like, Shin Megami Tensei is like such a different game. I don't think that it competes with that. Like, if you're into that kind of shit, then you're going to get it regardless. But that's actually already out. But yeah, Shadow of the Erd Tree comes out before we record again. And then after that, we don't really have any. We'll probably get some Final Fantasy updates from you while I'm chewing through Shadow of the Erd Tree. And
oh no, I'm going through Shadow of the Erd Tree first. I'm not in MMO mindset right now. Fuck, I'm playing Dark Souls 3 and Elden Ring, you know,
concurrently
on rotation at this point. So I am not in an MMO mindset at this point. I will eventually play it. And I do have it pre-ordered. I'll probably load it up and, you know, see what all the fuss is about. But I am not like, I'm not a fucking reader. You know, I'm not a person who's going to push content or push progression or anything. I go in there and I play to have fun. Well, right now I'm having fun with Souls likes and, or Souls games, you know, in that respect. So I am playing what I think is fun right now.
Right on.
So I'm definitely going to, be playing Shadow of the Erd Tree, you know, when it comes out. So we'll be able to, you know, kind of compare our gameplay experience with that. You already know I'm going in with an uber strength, double spiked bonker.
I'll be going in, I think, with some version of an arcane or bleed or dex build. I have really taken a liking to bleed, but I've also taken a liking to some of the arcane stuff. So we shall see. Speaking of Ubi, the one thing that is not a day one for me, I'm just going to see how it shakes out, a Star Wars Outlaws, right? Like that comes out here in a couple months. And review impressions have not been strong for people who've gotten the preview, as in it feels like a lot of Ubi in a Star Wars game. A lot of little mini games. I'm sure there's a tower somewhere. It's an open world game that can be beat in 30 hours. I guess, you know, if it's, I say I keep sighing because, like, holy shit, I just have not nailed it. Was the Star Wars game with the Potato Face Cal, was that an Ubi product?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
It didn't feel
Ubi. Did Respawn?
That was Respawn. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's why it was
decent.
I didn't
feel Ubi because it didn't have it didn't have a tower for you to reveal them.
Yeah, so you get a sequence.
But that's as close to, that's another Souls like game, right? I mean,
it takes inspiration from it, but it's not exactly the same.
Right, it's not exactly the same, but it's still. Like,
and it's dodge, not to it's block. Not to that level of difficulty, like, unless you just run into an area that you're not supposed to yet and get waylaid by some area boss or something.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
super hard.
The bosses, I mean, you can't tell me that the first time that you you got up to, like, the Darth Vader fight or any of the other fights, right? It was like, there is a point where you have to kind of learn their moveset. And
that is true.
And that's made it feel, you know, very soulsy to me.
That is true. That is definitely one difference with the newer one, was by the time I got to the second half of the game, I didn't care about anybody's fucking moveset.
You just powered right through them.
I just waylaid the shit out of
them. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the power of fantasy, being a Jedi, right? So,
yeah. So, like, the ending of the second one wasn't nearly as hard as the first one.
But no, it wasn't.
It was still an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, I liked it once I was able to get it to run with a fucking mod. Like, thank God you found that mod, and then I completed it in like 2 weeks.
I still haven't played the second one, so I'll eventually play it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I
eventually play a lot of things, so it's just that.
I didn't have much else. There's only one other little juicy bit that I found. I have a little bit of a fond memories of an old game called Lollipop Chainsaw. Played the fuck out of it a million years ago. Did a remake of it for PS5. It looks how I remember, but it doesn't look like anything's like all that cleaned up. And then what I mean by that is it's probably optimized for higher than 720p, right? Because I think I played it on 360. But it doesn't look better. So, yeah, it probably runs at a better frame rate. Literally, it looks like nothing's changed. So, not really all that hyped about it.
Yeah.
Did you guys have other news that I failed to cover?
The only thing that I was able to find was that there is going to be a update to Elden Ring on day one.
Oh yeah.
Of the DLC. It'll add some features to the base game as well as provide the day one patch for Shadow of the Erdtree.
Yeah, I know there's like some cosmetics and shit too.
Yeah. It'll include bug fixes, balance adjustments, and some features. And one of the features is it will tag new items in your inventory with a little exclamation mark so that you can find them easily.
Oh, so you can see if you picked up that stone or whatever.
Right. The summoning pools, if you activated a summoning pool, it'll be carried over to the new game plus, so you'll be able to be summoned. Or summon new, summon people in for, boss battles and whatnot. Have new hairstyles, and a couple other things. I hope they break, they fix some of the stuff that's like super broken about Elden Ring that I learned about. Like I watched a glitch run, speed run of somebody, like flying through the air because they blocked at a specific time. And I don't know how the fuck they did it or how they even figured out that it worked, but it's a very like one frame window kind of thing, where they were able to like skip the entire game and beat it in like, a few minutes. So there's also
that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a couple glitches that people were using to farm souls or farm runes or whatever that got them out of the map. Hopefully they fix that shit so that that game, I want to be as like pristine as possible for some reason. I like that Elden Ring just makes me feel happy. It's the only one that I will play online. Like,
I still haven't gotten invaded.
Yeah, the Souls games, like, there are some toxic motherfuckers out there that play, Souls games.
As good as you are at this point with Souls games, I think there'd be some gratification if you got invaded and you just beat the fuck out of somebody.
And it's possible. It's very possible.
Right, like, three-quarters of the time, I feel pretty confident, unless it's Dark Souls 2, and no, I don't feel confident in that one.
Yeah, it's just like I was watching some PvP battles.
I don't think anybody other than the most dedicated of some bros feel confident with invasion in Dark Souls 2. Yeah.
Well, it's just the way that it matchmakes. Like it at my soul level, because I was just playing it naturally and not working towards a meta, the only people who can invade me, because I fucked up a lot in a couple of places, are vastly overleveled for me and can fucking, like, two-shot me. So.
Yeah, it's those kind of people or whatnot. But like having watched some of the videos, they get really in depth about how, you know, how to do certain like combos that are just very cheesy looking. And totally within the move set of the weapons, but man, is it, you know, there's years of people playing, you know, the Dark Souls games, and they know all the weapons and the move sets of those weapons and stuff like that. Elden Ring's a little bit different. You've got a lot more, a lot more iffiness on shit too.
Yeah, I did that, that, you know, you go to the Great Jar on the hill in Caelid. Mm-hmm. You've got three people you got to beat so you can get the talisman, right?
Right.
It just took me two attempts to get through that. Like, I ended up running against somebody that had Millennia's Blade.
And yeah.
I just wasn't ready for it, and I forgot about the weapon arc, and so they just tore me to shreds real fast. But I beat everybody else, like, pretty handily. I just got really aggressive. And time, you know, I have so much fucking stamina, like I could keep attacking forever. So, like, just was relentless. That's been my strategy since. Just be relentless. I've got a fuckload of stamina. Just be relentless until you get through stuff.
Well, it's, PvP battles are either going to be really drawn out or really, really fast. So it's just one of the two.
Yeah, the Bloodfang step is another thing that I had at that point, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
I was just sliding around motherfuckers and backstabbing too.
That works. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to all that shit. I can't wait for that.
Well,
and then I'll probably do a new game plus three and do it all over again.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna get through it and then play something else for a little bit. I might play some V Rising just to get some new content for the show and give myself a break. but I'm not going to uninstall Elden Ring, to be honest with you. It may come back later this next month after I beat Shadow of the Erdtree. So,
well, I might let it sit for a minute and play Bloodborne and then go back to it.
Yeah, that's has better roles than Demon Souls, but it is definitely the hardest of all of them.
I'm ready to be a parry god. It being difficult. It's just, it
also looks kind of ugly now.
Well, that it does.
The art style saves it, but it's still pretty, when you're used to playing everything at a really clean, you know, 4K, 120 FPS, or in your case, 1440, like 300 FPS or whatever the fuck your monitor is, you're going to be cut down to 30 FPS, 1080p, 720p sometimes.
It's going to look better than Dark Souls Remastered.
No.
His Dark Souls Remastered was basically like...
It's at least clean.
It was at least clean. I can get that. I'm also playing this on PlayStation 5. There might be some magic there. I don't know.
Really? I don't think
I'll,
so.
I'm going to give it a try. I've played old games before. I'm well aware of what they look like. So if it's bullshit, then I just go back to what makes me happy, right? That's what happened with... That's what happened with Demon Souls. I didn't beat my fucking head about it. And I'm not going to like uninstall the game and be like, I'm never playing that game again.
Surprisingly,
it wasn't for me at that moment.
Bloodborne came out in 2015, so that game is 9 years old.
Yeah. And
it looks nine years old though, compared to the other ones.
Dark Souls 3 does not look 8 years old, so.
No, Dark Souls 3 looks fucking great on PC.
Right. And it holds its own. So I mean, I've got some things to play, like, and I'm not looking for games to play. And I've been there. Like, I've been like, oh, fuck, what am I going to play? It's like, I come home and I want to play these games. Sometimes to the point where I'm like, I've got shit I've got to do so that I can, like, reward myself with playing these games. So at least there's something to look forward to at the end of my day. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Well,
but yeah.
Jason, do you have anything to add?
Nope. I think you guys have covered most everything. So.
All right. Well, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/therealtiltcast. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
find some friends of the show. You've got tvgp.tv. They do fantastic things. And then I want to give a quick shout out. BMFcast.com. I don't know the details around it, but they got us started many, more than 10 years ago. Mackie gave me a lot of advice on how to get this started. Their show has since ended, but you can still find back episodes. And the other reason I mention it is one of the founders of that show passed away at 46 years old, Harlow. Yeah. So they're going to keep that show up for a while. Go listen to it. It's all old movies. It's all really good. Harlow's really funny. So is the rest of everybody, especially BJ. But yeah, give them a listen. They're going to keep it up for a while in memory of Harlow. And in memory of Harlow, thank you. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right, guys. Peace.